Blog Talk Radio.
Out of this Saturday.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm walking down
Child Even Shy, singing Words You Cannot Say. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that, well, I pretend to be somebody I'm not. I'm Jay Hatter, your host for tonight, for the next 2 hours. With me is my friend and partner, man from Snowy River, Bingo Patterson. Banjo Patterson, redo. Man from Down Under.
That's me.
The Wizard of Oz, A.P. Taylor.
G'day, Hatter. How are you? Up in the hills today, so I've already gone into banjo country and back, so all good fun.
Did we ever find out if he played the banjo? He must have.
Oh, I don't know. Good question. Maybe he did. Maybe he played the ukulele. Just be something a little, you know, sideways.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
Just thinking.
Deborah's going to be taking the night off. She's going to go dessert.
Yes.
Away from us. So just me and you.
Yes.
She's got to remember to clean up afterwards. Today.
We'll work it out. We'll work it out. We'll have some friends come by. I mean, we've already got one in the studio. We've already got Rack with us. Hi, Rack. How are you?
Hey, Rack.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hi, guys. You know, well, we get by with a little help from our friends, right? You know, we, as the Beatles once famously said, you know, we just bum rolling on, and we're just fortunate to have people like yourself rocking on past. So that's pretty cool.
It should be fun.
I came up the other night on a different show about Joe Cocker and the helper with my friends. Lennon McCartney heard him play it, heard him sing it, and gave him the song. I don't know if that means rights to it. I'm pretty sure that would mean.
I don't know.
Gave him the song.
I don't know, Hatter. There is a bit of feedback on your line, though, Hatter. It's just a bit rough.
Okay. Say that might happen.
I think that sounds better, Hatter.
Alright.
Yep.
That's a show about feedback anyway.
Well, that's true. That is true, Rack. I had the kids this morning, and I actually did the full the country market run. So I've driven 200 miles and been at a country market for 90 minutes and come back. So I've had a decent day already today.
Sounds like fun.
So it was fun. I mean, it's just because we've had all this sort of time in lockdown where we haven't been able to move past our house.
Right.
It's actually really nice. Oh, thanks, Heather. It's actually really nice to actually get in a car and go somewhere in the countryside and just see something different, you know, and be in a different place. So, you know, we've had a lot of that sort of lockdown business this year. And so I just thought, I'll just get the kids, you know, out in the bush and go to my favourite country market, which is in Dalesford, which is up towards Ballarat in the goldfields, Heather, in the goldfields, of course. So, I was up in the goldfields, and there's some nice old stuff up there. So, of course, you know, many people would go and buy glassware, and many people would go and do different things, and I, of course, would go and buy ball things or rubber mold to imprint bags of wheat or flour, which.
Somebody's got to do that.
About what I would do, you know, just you know, like what I am. But anyway, there's me, and you know, with my new rubber 2-foot by 1-foot mold. Fortunately, I did get some lemons and hot cross buns and some other things that were vaguely useful. So
you can go around and paint that on buildings.
Well, I had thought about that, Hatter. It's sort of you could have that as your symbol. You know, you could spray paint that and then just sort of stick it in an alleyway
as
graffiti, you know.
It's meant to be sprayed on old bags, so when Hatter comes to visit, you could spray him.
Well, I hadn't thought about that, Rack. That's not a bad thought. You know, come to think about it, I could do that. We could stick it on his back, then I wouldn't lose him. It'd be like a tattoo. You know,
tattoos.
You could do it each time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You wouldn't lose him. I was big enough. Cover those old bags. You wouldn't go missing. So, well, I've got absolutely no idea what I'm going to do with it. But you know, it just appealed to me in a sort of because it's their type of way, really. So, anyways. It says much about me.
Here.
I come back with, like, I go travel 200 miles and I come back with a rubber mold of a flour bag, you know. Anyway, yeah, there you go.
I guess you could make cookies out of it, too, if you wanted to.
Yes, you could make, there'd be fucking cookies, though, Rack, just quietly, you know. It'd be 2-foot by 1-foot, be a heck of a cookie, but, I mean, you know, I'm not sure you'd get it in the oven, but, you know, you could try. I guess. So.
You press the cookies into the mold, shape them.
You could. No, you could. True enough. You could. So, no, it's possible. I'm not saying it's not possible. It's possible. So, Hatter, I was going to do my first poem. Yeah. Is that okay? And then we'll get Raph to do his.
Yeah, go right ahead. Go ahead, post it.
You know, the interesting thing about this is that this is from this morning. Poem from this morning. It was heard as I was getting my sort of sausage and bread roll. And this is heard from the griddle. God help me, it actually has, you know, talking in it, which is unusual for me. It goes very briefly, a little bit like this. The sizzle of a bratwurst is matched by her mood, seems ready to burst with her partner in feud. It's a duck sausage, see? Well, you cannot have sauce. Here layered mustard be, you're not tasting a horse. Customer is not always right, sometimes not even a bit. Now get out of my sight, you big galumping twit, end poem.
There used to be a commercial. There used to be a commercial where the person's yelling, "Taste it before you mess with it."
Yes. Yes. Well, this was like this. She was refusing to put tomato sauce on duck sausages. Yep. She was basically saying, "You don't know what you're doing. It's ridiculous. It's stupid. I'm not spoiling my duck sausage by putting tomato sauce on it. Here's mustard. Go away." It was basically what was happening. And her husband, who was in the van, was saying, "Give him sauce." And she was saying, "Go away. I'll give you some money. Go around the market. Nick off. Don't I actually care what you say. You're not making my life easier. Go away." It was like that. True story. So, there you go. And
see, I wouldn't have paid for
that.
Just I'd put it on my bill.
Yeah, no. She was. If I was the husband, I would have got out of that van. I think. You know, I just would have said, "Okay, just give me the money. I'm going now." You know, I'm not having sausage. I'm going to get a curry or something. You know, but I'm getting out of here. That's what I would have done. But you know, last count, he was still in the sausage van, getting told what for. Mainly about that. So, anyway.
I could see being opinionated about that.
Oh, yeah, no, I was sitting there eating my sausage, beef sausage, by the way, I didn't have duck, eating my beef sausage in the roll, and I was thinking to myself, I'm so very glad I chose beef, you know? One of those few times when you sort of sit there and you go, that was a good choice. Well done. You didn't go to duck. And that was a good thing. And the duck sausage was more expensive too, Rack.
I'm sure. I wish I could have had some. I love stuff like that.
Oh, mm-hmm. No. Well, they, you know, you have bratwurst and you have wurstwurst and you have weisswurst and you have the duck and then you had the beef one, which is the one that all the yokels have because it's, you know, cheaper. And that's the one I had.
The worst of the worst, yes.
Yes. The vice or the brat or the whatever. They had them all, you know. So just in this little sort of, you know, well, I remember it's 2-foot by 1-foot sort of grill she had going. Bloody hot. But, you know, get everything going, every variety going on this little heat pan. And as I said, her husband wasn't helping at all.
Score!
Hey!
I got booted off already.
We won 4.
I got booted off once already.
I
got booted off.
Hannah.
I had
What's
to come back in.
What's the prize?
One of that.
Sounds like a paywall sort of thing or something. Like a
slot machine over the door. Slot machine over the door.
Anyways. So that was my poem. That was my poem. Went like that. And now we're going to grab Rack's poem. And Lars, G. Lars, you can call in if you wish to. You don't have to, but you certainly can call in if you wish to, because he's asking if he can, and I'm saying he can. So I'm now going to get Rack, your poem, off the board, and I am going to play your SoundCloud as well. So bear with me while I get myself vaguely organized. which is difficult because at the best of times, it's hard enough to get myself organized. So I am now putting Rack's palm up on the board, which is smoke and Rack. I am now going to the studio, and I am playing your palm now. I think. You could
Smoke
go.
By Rack on Tour. I am smoke, barely tangible, like a fleeting thought, floating aimlessly on the whims of the wind, writhing tendrils searching from day to day, drifting through the lives of the people I've known. Yes, I am smoke, the byproduct of something else. Mere wisps of air, cast aside by burning flame, slowly dissipating the further I travel, fading as if I were never there. Since I am smoke, I am given life by the flame, acknowledging what I've known all along. One is nothing without the other. And when you drift too far apart, everything seems to vanish into thin air. End poem.
Very nice. Very nice. I like that a lot, Rack. Well, I like the image. I like the sense of the poem. I like the connectivity of the poem. I like the sense of, you know, if there's smoke, there's fire, and vice versa. I think that's been neat. And placed on the paper, it sits very well. So I enjoyed. Hatter, did you enjoy that one?
Yeah, the in the line, one is nothing without the other. One, I think you have one of what follows. It also begins. It's the birth of flame, just the dissipation. So this is very well done.
It is.
Mere wisps of air cast aside by burning flame.
Very appropriate. Yeah, I like it a lot. It's got a nice.
I saw the topic and I thought of it right away.
Yeah, it sort of just sidles by at you, this poem. It's really nice. It doesn't sort of go and try to sort of blanket you. It just sort of gives you that sort of vague sort of sense of woodiness as it sort of travels past you. It's really cute. I like it.
I see a previous comment. I had said something about your intro should be at the bottom. I'm just checking out what I meant here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the poem came from a conversation with someone about smoke and mirrors, and that kind of gave birth to it.
And then there was an idea.
In the author's notes that I mentioned. The idea about, you know, having someone that you know, is that kind of person in your life that you kind of can't be without. So there's that connection between the flame and the smoke and the romanticism of the flame and that, you know, metaphor itself. And, you know, the thing about smoke, how you know, it does dissipate when it drifts from the flame. So, you know, when you're away from that person that you care about, you know, the flame, the thoughts kind of just, you know, intertwined for me, and that's, you know, what sparked, no pun intended, what sparked the thought.
No, very good. No, I enjoyed. Very nice. Now, Hatter, how did you go with this topic in terms of writing a poem? What was your experience of smoke, Adam?
Well, I was I hung around these fire science guys for a while and worked for the fire department. I was going to do two. One was more practical explanation. The other was going to be real metaphorical, and it sort of blew up on me. So I only got the one.
Okay.
But I was having trouble trying to mix the two together. So I decided, well, I'm just going to do two because I had two distinct thoughts.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, why don't we put that one up on the board?
All right. I talked to Deb about our collab.
Yes.
She wants you to read it. She wanted you to read it.
Okay.
And she said this was probably the hardest one yet to piece together. So I don't know.
Okay.
We'll have to see.
Yeah, okay.
What she means.
We both sort of immediately reacted to it. So that's a good thing. So let me just, I'm just going to, while I'm just putting this up, I'm just going to try and copy this little piece here for G. Lars that has the number. So bear with me. Hold on. There we go. I've got it there now, G. Lars. I've just put it on the board for you. That is the call-in number from the United States. So Hannah, I'm with you. We've got your poem on the board there. Called. Hold on.
Smoke.
That would be right.
It all starts with a little flame, usually.
Yeah, it does.
This is the passport. It goes like this. Yeah. All creatures know by instinct to flee when they smell the dirty air of fire. Clouds will form above the flames and winds will push them higher. It changes daylight into twilight. It climbs the heated rising plumes. It's like the snowstorm in mid-July. It tells us it will be here soon. The smell means flames that comes alive. The air is thick with no place to hide. It has no friends, no eyes to see. It kills us all indiscriminately. Fear the fire that breathes and feeds, for this is all too true. Do you think it did not know where or how as it comes in search of you? Whoa.
Yes. Yeah, no. It's you know, the smoke comes first, Hatter. Yeah? You're absolutely right.
Yep.
The smoke comes first. And you can see the smoke before you can smell the smoke, and you can smell the smoke before you can see the fire. And
yeah, if you've ever been camping up in the hill, and it starts snowing in summertime.
No, I have no. In Australia, I haven't done that. No,
we've had that happen. We were up camping. And just it started snowing, and what it was ash.
Right.
We didn't smell the smoke yet, but it was high enough that it had come over us and started falling. It looked like snow.
Yeah.
It was really weird.
Yeah, right.
The Rangers came by and said,
I think the thing, the interesting thing for me about smoke is that it can be, you know, seriously scary watching smoke. Yeah. And you sort of I think people sort of sometimes can forget about, you know, how scary that sort of smoke cloud can look. And you know, because basically it can take up the whole of the sky, Hatter, you know, and there's something, you know, really scary about seeing that smoke cloud, apart from anything else, and then, as I said, hearing that, smelling the smoke, you know, that comes from it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a certain smell to a wildland fire. Plus, it's usually white smoke, and anytime there's a black smoke, it usually means a building, now building of some kind, has been. And the scariest is when the smoke is colored. There's different colors in it. That means chemicals are being burned.
Could
be deadly.
It has to do with the temperature changes the color too.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, when it starts breathing and sucking all the air from around the fire and sucking it in and up into it, it actually makes a sound like it's feeding.
Mm. Like it's breathing, yeah.
And, That's what's pretty good. Yeah. That's what comes alive, they say.
So, I think, guys, we have somebody who's joined us. Hello, 612. Is that G Lars?
Yes, hello. This is 612, G Lars.
G'day, G Lars. How are you?
I joined 10 minutes late, but I'm happy to be
That's
here.
That's okay. We're here talking smoke, and we were just talking colors of smoke and how, you know, the colors of that smoke can indicate different types of fires. And it's...
I'll have one to read. Give me a few minutes. I'll find my best smoke poem.
Perfect.
If you have time.
Of course we do.
Yeah, sure.
Of course we do, G Lars. Yep, no, it's all good. We like smoke poems. So, you're right, guys. I mean, it seemed to be that every time my father-in-law, who's now passed, turned around, he had fires in his place, and he used to track them for him. And, he had one come from the south and one come from the north and one come from the west, and it's unbelievable. He just seemed to be in the wrong place at the wrong time all the time. But and one was a burn-off that went wrong, and one was a lightning strike, and it was just amazing.
And then there's you from Australia.
I bet you experienced some lovely smoke at the market while they were roasting the bratwurst.
Well, no, that's why I was there. I did, but the smoke from the bushfires was not the best, and people got quite upset about the fire that went, you know, that was meant to be a fire suppression fire. It was meant to get rid of all the back growth, yeah. And then, of course, it went and became a proper fire and took out a number of houses, and people got quite upset. Don't know why, but, you know, the problem was that they started the fire near to Melbourne Cup Day, of course. And so the fire was meant to be out before Melbourne Cup Day, but then it kept on going and everybody was taking a break, and the fire just swept through, you see, and got a head of steam and kept on going and got through two or three houses, and as I said, people got quite upset about that, you know. So legal actions pursued.
But it's a fine line to set a backfire to protect anything, because you got to do it in the track in the direction of the fire without
correct.
Yeah, I mean, so it'll stop, and you got to. It's a fine line, man. Just a slight wind change.
No, it is. And this one was a really interesting one, because it was early on in the season, obviously, because we weren't expecting it to get going, but it actually got going with the cold southerly wind. It actually went the opposite way to what most fires would ever go. Most fires in Australia get going with the north wind, and so come at you from the north. This fire got going early in the season with the southerly, and as I said, a bad combination of Melbourne Cup Day, a southerly wind, and things just went wrong
on the day.
That's
what happened here. That's what happened here in California. Was the fires got firestorms got so big, they were just walking over the top of things. And when that happens, when the circumstances are perfect to it walks over the top of you. That's when things get super heated, and you can see it in these fires where the trees just explode. They just explode in flames.
Yeah.
They don't catch on fire and start burning. They just explode.
It creates its own weather pattern, basically.
Sure.
It creates its own storms.
Yep.
So the lightning sort of, you know, races it ahead. And I like the poem, Hatter. We sort of missed that in the midst of this, but I did like the fact that the fire was sort of searching you out. Yeah. What did you think, Rat?
And, you know, it made me think of like when you barbecue and you smoke meat. You know, the heat of the smoke. When, like you were saying, it seems kind of innocuous. You know, it's this puffy, you know, cloud-like looking thing. How can it hurt you? You don't realize that the temperature involved, especially in a contained area. And, you know, I for the longest time, I never really understood how hot it was. And then when I started the cooking, you obviously when you taste the food, you could see that it infuses flavor, but you don't realize that it's the heated air that and the smoke that's actually cooking the meat. And you know, I mean, depending on what you're cooking and how it's wrapped and everything, you could get a lovely crust on something without the flame ever kissing it. It's really incredible.
Yeah.
Well, that's the whole art of barbecue right there. You know,
correct.
Well, you know, that's why this lady was at the sausages and grilling, you know. So whether they be duck or whether they be beef, she was grilling them all, you know. So, and onion. We haven't even got into onion yet and what grills do to onion, which has completely changed its whole texture, makes it edible.
Instead of
having your eyes dry and all that. So, anyway.
You know, if you go on YouTube.
You have all sorts of. Yes, head up.
If you go on YouTube,
Sorry,
I think up there you can create your own, build your own convection oven outside in your yard.
Really?
Put a roast in, put a roast in it in the morning, and come back after work, and it'll be done.
Yeah, right.
I've never tried it.
Have you actually done that?
No, I haven't. But there's several directions. There's several videos of how to build one.
And they all start with, do not try this at home.
Probably.
I have had roast in a hangi, which is a New Zealand sort of coal pit. So they dig a bloody great big hole and make a bloody great big hot fire in it, keep the coals in it and cover it. And they cover it for about 8 hours. And it's bloody nice when you have it, actually, because it's been slow cooked on embers for that period of time. Very, 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 very lovely way to do roast meats. Very nice. But, you know, it would make a bit of a mess of the front yard because you'd have to dig a whole heap of dirt out, and then you'd have to burn a whole heap of really hot coals. And I'm thinking your neighbours might get a little bit pissy about that. And then you've got to cover it, and then you've got to uncover it, and, you know, it's a bit of stuffing around. And as I'm saying, I think probably the front lawn wouldn't look the same. So, you know, one of those things. We suffer for food.
A friend of mine, when he bought his first house, it was in a new tract of homes. No fences were up yet. So he had some neighbors, but there were homes around, and he had he was going to cook a pig, so he built this big hole to bury this pig in, right? So, so he dug the hole and everything, and at 3:30 in the morning, he had some kindling and stuff down in there, and he had soaked it with gas. Well, he walked away from it and didn't realize what gas does in holes.
Oh, no.
And he walked out, and he soaked it again, I guess, and he threw a match in there and it exploded and blew out all his neighbors' windows and his.
Wow.
Way to meet your. They had the bomb. They had the bomb squad out there. The civil units. So what the hell happened? So he had to pay for.
That's hilarious. Should I laugh or cry? Was anyone injured?
No, I've got a lot.
Nobody got injured. And there was only like two immediate houses that there were people actually living in that it happened, and the other houses that got damaged, there was nobody in them. But he said,
so
I wasn't there at the time.
Damaged, you
out there to start. I'm sorry?
How many houses got damaged?
I think he said five. Had some damage. It was just the concussions blew up windows.
But at least he didn't have the pig on the fire yet.
Yeah, no, he didn't. He still
did
cooked
they
get
it. Pig pieces as well, or just concussion?
I guess it was just a concussion. I mean, you know how When you put gas on something, you light it. You light it immediately. You don't sit there for it to crawl along the grass.
No.
He said it was just like a bomb. It was just like a bomb.
Wow.
Reminds me of the story of the South American pilots, Hatter. They decided in their new jets, the brand new jets that they got in South America, they decided to do a low pass over the capital of their country. And they went so low that they broke all of the windows in the high court building of their country. Which, to me, sort of seems a really bad idea if you're a pilot to go and bust the high court building, because you sort of know that you're going to get into trouble and you sort of know that the judges aren't going to be particularly happy with you and you haven't even started the trial yet. Somebody got it on.
Dude, you should be a lawyer.
That's right. You don't have, you don't really need a lawyer. You actually need a new country at that point, don't you? I mean, it shows that you're going straight over the top of the High Court building and basically the High Court building sort of shimmering and all the glass just going crunch onto the ground on the video.
I've
and
gone
so,
to court four times in my life over minor traffic tickets, and I'm 50-50. I won two. I got nailed for two. So, yeah, you can try your luck.
Well, see, The problem with this, G-Lars, was that their planes were on video. They got numbers on them, you know, and you can see them straight over the top of this building, barely missing it. And so, you know, you don't really have much of a defense. I mean, you know.
Yeah, you can't play the video.
You know, I've just gone and busted your building, and I've done it on video, and you're the guys that are going to go and do the court case.
So you were convicted. When do you get out of prison then, AP?
Well, let's
exactly right.
Well, let's play devil's advocate for a second. I mean, you know, you're the pilot, so you have to file your flight path. So that had to have been approved by the FAA or some government agency saying, okay, it's all right for you to fly at this altitude. So, you know,
well,
I mean, and,
that is,
and plus,
that is true.
You know,
that is
in an American country,
you're absolutely right. But these guys,
I imagine they were following orders as well.
The plan. They didn't follow the plan. They went all Top Gun, right? And they just did what they wanted to do. Seriously. It's one of my favorite bits of all time footage, actually, is these low flying planes going in the busting the High Court building. Anyway, there you go.
Yeah, you flew into Hong Kong, Singapore,
Gila,
or those jumbo jets.
Did you find your poem about smoke?
Hey, Daddy,
you're
AP.
Sorry,
hello, G-Lars.
Yeah, I'm G-Lars. All right. You want me to read my poem? Smokey Bandit is back.
Did you find your poem about smoke?
Yes, Smokey Bandit is back. I will read that now, I will actually sing
it. You want to put that up on the board?
Something totally different. Didn't I? Don't you
perfect.
See it?
I like something different. Have a look.
I'm going to sing it. Didn't you see it?
And see it now.
I put it on the board.
I've got it. I can see it.
All right. I just send it again.
We're in your hands. No, it's all yours.
So what you should do at the end of this poem is look at my author notes and watch that YouTube. Jerry Reed was a wonderful country singer. So indulge me for four stanzas while I envision that I'm a country singer star. Smokey Bandit is back. Eastbound and down, loading up and trucking. Jerry Reed said this to the kid and me. With his Smokey Bandit buddy, back in the bell-bottom 70s. An anti-hero to me, caught up to in the CD radio craze. They had the hottest Trans Am car, and Sally F, such a cute and adorable babe. About this teen time, I fell afoul of the law. Buford F. Pusser, Baptist minor scofflaw. I never jumped my sports car. A river as wide as Bert did in the movies. I have traveled far, and I always stay well ahead of the law. End of the song.
Well done. I enjoyed that a lot.
He does sing that.
Don't ever get people singing unless it's me, and that's not very well. So, Hannah, what did you think? Did you enjoy that song?
I thought I was listening to Jerry Reed. Yeah, he does
cool.
sing the theme to the movies. Is that like the Eastbound, Southbound? What was the song? Eastbound.
Okay.
Yeah, Jerry Reed had a famous song of the same name. Yeah.
Yeah. Very good.
I found it. I found the video. No, found the video. It is entitled "Low Flying Jets Break Every Window of the Country Supreme Court." I couldn't make this up. Low flying jets break every window of the country Supreme Court in Brazil. I attached the news article to the.
I see it.
It was Brazil. It was Brazil.
Wow.
Yep. Yep. But I didn't make it up, I promise. But I really like
it. What does that have to do with my poem?
I think he did a great job. Oh, it has nothing to do with it, but I'm coming back. I think your poem was exceptionally well done, and I was most impressed that you actually sang it. I think there was something special about that. Here you sing. Rat, are you there, Rat? Hello, Rat. Rat, come in, Rat. Rat's gone, or he's on mute.
Hello?
He's fed up.
He's not on mute. Rat.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I have problems with the mute button on my stupid phone sometimes.
No, that's okay.
Yeah, that was very much reminded me of Smokey and the Bandit. It was a cool song. I was surprised that you sang it. You're a braver man than I. Very well done, though. You know, the old CB trucker days, the Eastbound and Down. Really a cool rhythm and a nice song.
Thank you, amigo.
Well done, G-Lars.
You got a con.
Okay, I am now gonna play. Which is very loud, the Brazilian Air Force pilot shattering every window of the country Supreme Court. Here we go.
Yeah.
One. Two. And yes, it showed every window of the Supreme Court building in that clip actually breaking at the same time as they broke the speed of sound. Unbelievably stupid. But anyway, there you go. That's what we do in life. You know, we do that occasionally. We do stupid things. And as I said, the fire that got away in Australia and, you know, burnt down those houses around my father-in-law's house was a fire that was meant to be there to stop fires happening, except it happened to be a fire itself. And so these things sort of go in circles. So anyway, there you go. Tatter, poem of mine to put on the board. I have a poem of mine to put on the board. And this is a poem that you should like because it's longer, right? We've had this discussion about the fact that longer poems often work for you. And this is called Miscreant Youth and goes a little bit like this. A morn of a Sunday passing is mine to miss as logs are left to char into a hearth blind. Surfaces curled, bucklers belch in his. Mists kept shimmering low just past the blind. Emerald green frost of grasses freshly mown, flowers left spray as if here just for spring.
Those bushfires forgotten to last years flown. Not a whisper or follow track on wind's wing. So stay in while listen as noting the rustle of fresh lime leaves as they catch on the roof. The smoke here strays towards a tepid hustle. You find the opposite of miscreant youth in poem. It's got a long
I'm just not getting there. If we,
it's not quite a full
I'm just not getting there.
Sorry.
I'm just not getting there.
No. Oh, well. These things happen. You need to dial back in, Hatter?
Yeah, this stupid phone.
Yeah,
I'm,
no,
I'm rereading it.
Might make a difference. That might make a difference. Meanwhile, Barak, what did you think of that little missive? It was just written, but you know, it was there. It wasn't low flying jets, but it was there. I think you're on mute again too, by the way, Barak.
How about hello?
Doc, you're back again.
There you are.
Hi there. I'm sorry. I'm having all kinds of difficulties right now with this stupid thing.
It's probably the video too, you know. We have had some problems. So,
yeah.
We have had some problems
I'm
for the
sorry.
Last little while. That's okay, Rack.
This is like we're in outer space.
We put up with it. Yeah.
Well, they can't be smoking the vacuum of space.
So, anyways, we have had a bit of fun with the studio over the last week or two. So that I don't think is helping. So, we might do the.
We have millions of listeners.
We potentially have millions of listeners. Potentially,
yeah.
Yes. We have. Some we have and some we don't. So
I'm sorry,
I
not DP.
No. It's all good. We catch our listeners where we can. Do you like? So I'm going to put the collaboration on the board, Hatter. Now, you talked to Deb about this one, Hatter, and she was. She was troubled by this one. Is that right?
She just said that it was the most difficult one yet for her, on her end. So I don't know if we were online saying the same thing, or if we were so far apart.
Well, let's see.
That's hard.
Let's see. Okay. Well, let me. Wow. Okay.
Is that the one?
It's quite difficult.
Is that the one she commented on the board?
I don't know.
she said AP should read it because it's supposed to be read by the wizard.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. Yeah,
yeah
I'll read it. I'm just looking at it now, trying to make sense of it. So this is the Hatter and I blind collaboration that Deb does great things to try and make any sense of, because we do these lines separately at the bottom and then they come together into a poem. This is, did the flying monkey snatch Toto? It goes a little bit like this. Jay Hatter's trip goes a little bit like this. He watched to see the trick I bought, wondering how it's done. Come with me and you'll see. Hold on, that's chocolate. On his way to spend the day, the gold laid at his feet. This is Oz, and so that means we're off to see the wizard. Me. A missing hair called disrepair, pulling rabbits out of his hat. But good news, my friend, that pink bush in the distance matches your hat. Imagine that. This Hatter ran, sharing words with care, then tipped his magician's hat. Now send in his costume in one too many colour combinations. Stat. Hatter hates the makeup that caused the breakup, and he won't be smiling when he sees those monkeys. As I read poetry with the words he'll never say then, sell used cars and slimming products too, you see. I've always wondered who kept the yellow brick road so pristine, combining rhymes just in time, as the world still searches for Alice, who was not seen. In a purple sash, she stole the cash the king paid to play croquet. So if you are Dorothy, you need an annoying dog and red slippers today. simple.
Now, I read that, and even in my own brain, it didn't seem to read right. The way you read it, that's not too bad.
Oh, there you go. Think better. It has internal rhyme, so that picked up. It's a great deal quirkier than what we normally do, Hatter, and that's saying something, because normally we're fairly quirky. It's sort of almost beyond quirky, whatever that is. Sort of.
Well, I think we had some definite guidelines that messes us, that would mess us up. If one of us is describing something and the other one's doing metaphoric lines.
Correct.
I can see where the contradiction would come in.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you. No, I agree with you. I mean, I think we both responded very quickly, and that probably means that we went off on lateral tangents in terms of how we did it. And one sort of personified and one sort of third person, which I think makes it harder as well.
Yeah.
So I think Deb's done a pretty good job actually making some sense of that, Hatter. It's not an easy one.
Yeah, agreed.
It's not an easy one. If you look at the lines, they're quite different, and they're quite, you know, it's not even that one's perpendicular to one. It's like one is 42 and one is Humphrey Bear. It's really hard to sort of make a coherent whole.
Yeah, you know, I asked her about tense. If tense was an issue when we handed in our lines, and she said sometimes, and I think I would be probably the one that'd be at fault in that category more than you.
You could be pretty.
I think we've both gone in the first person, Hatter, or first or third. It's just that we've sort of gone there in a strangely metaphorical way.
By way of a tornado.
I think that's what. Yeah, a little bit. I think we've sort of made her job very hard this week, actually.
Yeah, I would agree.
So,
yeah, I try to stay away from the more narrative
there's only so much you can do. You know?
Yeah,
it's a bit like making a milkshake, an editor, yeah. But if you don't have any ice cream, and it makes it bloody hard to have a decent milkshake. Doesn't matter how good.
No, that's it. Maybe
it sort of
wasn't enough to the
process. Is,
wasn't enough to the picture. Yeah.
That's
not
what I mean. I mean, I think it just.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was my way of saying that. That I think, you know, We were missing some big components of sort of story and guts and just about everything, really. And there's only so much Deb can fill in.
Well, a little Quentin Tarantino Pulp Fiction work.
A little. It was a little episodic, yeah. And if we had Quentin Tarantino and a bit of black and white and, you know, a lot of special effects, we probably could have made it work, but I think it's probably just sort of, you know, got away. Like, you know, anyway, there you go. We tried, Anna. We tried. Maybe it was too close. You know, with Hatter image and stuff. Yeah, might have been too close to home, I think.
Poor Toto.
I like the fact that they're pairing up other poets that come and visit.
Yes.
And see how, try the same thing. I've been sort of asking about that since the beginning. And
yes.
Finally she got a reaction out of her.
Yes. Well, I think as I said to you, Hatter, I'm happy to do that as long as I don't have to do the editing ever again, because that almost killed me. But I think
I'll try it.
What I discovered,
I'll try it next
is that
time.
I'm a far better poet than I am an editor. I think we discovered that, but I probably knew that before. So, But
can I ask a question?
But please, Gila.
Sure.
Yes.
Question and a comment, right? So I don't know what you three weird people do, but I understand you both got the photo and the picture as a prompt, and so that
That's
led
it.
You into Alice in Wonderland, right?
Yes, it did.
This
my two
did,
favorite
yeah.
lines, my two favorite lines, and I can't find, I don't know who to vote for. I see in the author notes, these are the lines from Jay Hatter, and these are the lines from Hatter.
From me, yeah.
Sorry, AP, yeah. But the two lines I really loved was, just in time, as the world still searches for Alice, who is not seen. To me, those two lines is like the essence of the poem, like, we're all living in a wonderland
yep,
somehow.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know the whole meaning of this poem, but this is like, the dreams are not what they seem. It's everything is an illusion. What you see every day is
yes.
not what is real, you know. That's my
yes.
I'm sorry to summarize the poem in two words, but that's what I felt, and I love those two lines. That's all. Go ahead.
Well,
yeah.
there you go. Hatter, kudos to you, because they're your lines. I think I think you're right. I think the way that the poem's been put together, it actually sort of, that's the sort of fulcrum of the poem, really. It's what the rest of the poem sort of balances off, are those two lines. So I think...
Alice is not
you,
seen.
You get the problem,
that's a problem.
Better. Yeah, well, that's correct. But I think it's what acts as the balance of the poem. So... but anyways, look, we have more successful ones and lesser successful ones, Hatter, and we got a wonderful comment that has to be said on our piece
yeah.
on lions from a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if you read that comment from
Titus,
from Titus, yeah,
Titus Llewellyn. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, Titus wrote a comment on one of our previous collaborations that was really quite remarkable, really, in most ways, Hatter. And
we actually read that Wednesday night.
Yes.
Because he didn't know how it was created, and for him to
yes.
to make that statement or that comment was sort of outstanding. So I brought it up on Wednesday night
yes.
show, and we read it. So I had to reread it. Had to reread it through his eyes. And it was a hell of a compliment.
It was. It was. My thanks to Titus for actually finding that piece and for having that reaction to it, and then writing us the terrific comment. So it is interesting. Sometimes they sort of work. Hatter, and sometimes they sort of partly work, and sometimes they sort of, you know, we sort of hit each other like sort of sidecars or dodgem cars sometimes, and bounce off each other and end up sort of getting in trouble for going the wrong way. So it's a bit hard to know which one will come out.
I think maybe we were too much in the same direction, crowding each other. We needed to be more.
Yeah, probably. As I said, I think the image was a bit close. That's the way I'm going to go for this one. I think you know what we've learned is we've got to have sort of space from characters. I reckon. So that I think is a learning from this image. But anyway, there you go. Every image is different, Hatter, and we try different things and we see where we get to. You know. So.
It is then.
So I am going to go to the board now, Hatter, and just see what we have. Now, we have one from Gerald Green. So I'm going to put the Gerald Green one up on the board. Then do the SoundCloud with that. So bear with me one tick. And I should say, Gerald is always a terrific supporter of our show, Patter, and always comes up with stuff. So this is Gerald on the SoundCloud.
Cigarette Smokes Debate, written and read by Gerald Green. To criticize and tell me I'm judgmental is to be the very thing you claim I am. You're right. I do not like your ways, expecting everyone to be the same and tolerate behavior that destroys. When people self-destruct with cigarettes, pretending no one else should have a say, as if their painful death and its effects don't spread, then think again. Your smoke flows wide and floats like gas to reach and kill without regard, surrounding me with noxious fumes that poison lungs. You think this is about your freedom, but it also involves mine. Each puff exhales a deadly plume of smoke that reaches out attacking who it can. But you don't care. You treat it like a joke. The world is full of this hypocrisy, where you judge me, but I cannot judge you. End poem.
Mm, there we go. We're heading towards cigarette smoke, Hatter. What's your view of this poem and that perspective?
I think cigarette smoke to non-smokers is very intrusive. I think it's besides that it stinks if you don't smoke if you're not smoking. Yeah. I can actually see the point where, you know, it's a cop out to say don't judge me and then light up a smoke. Well, just go find your own spot. And I smoked for years, but I always smoked outdoors. Never. I made sure that it wasn't bothering anybody. I wasn't a place that I would. But you know, if it just you've got that low pressure in or the high pressure in, and that none of the smoke is rising, it just stays fence level. It's going in somebody's open window. Yeah, it's very
intrusive.
Very much so.
Yeah, well, Rack, what's your sense of the world of cigarette smoke?
As a non-smoker, surrounded by a lot of people that smoke, I can only cry for my pink lungs or my formerly pink lungs. You know, I've got health issues complicating things now, but even when I was healthy, it's just, you know, it's one of those things. You know, I understand it's your choice and everything, but there comes a point where it's invasive. Like when people used to do it when you were eating or something, you know, in a restaurant. That was one law that I could get behind, you know, but, you know, I understand where the smokers are coming from too. You know, they're getting herded outside and everything. And then, you know, they're huddled under the awnings in the elements and whatnot. But I mean, there's good reason for that. And, you know, if you set aside the dedicated spot, then, you know, that they've got what they can do. But, you know, even that seems unfair because, you know, why should they be the ones that are, you know, singled out? And it becomes a health issue, really. That's the only possible argument I could come up with against it. I mean, you know, it's a choice, and you know that they're entitled to make that choice and do what they want with it, and live with it. And you know, you're entitled to the same choice that you don't want to be involved in it. And unfortunately, like if you're stuck with someone in a car, you can't like jump out and run on the side until they're done with their cigarette, and they can't exactly open the window and blow it out the window either. So you're kind of at an impasse at that point. It's really, really a difficult situation to deal with. It's very much, you know, it's very much an addiction, and that's part of what they're dealing with too, you know. Yeah. It's like, you know, I have to have my cigarette now. It calms me down. All the reasons, whatever they are, you know, they feel justified in lighting up, you know. Well, I can't get out of the car, so do me a favor, you know. Please try not to, but it is what it is.
In a vehicle, you walk out. In a vehicle, you walk out smelling like it, like you do smoke. People that don't smoke can smell it. You can smell it on you. My vehicles, when I quit smoking years ago, that was the first thing that went was, you know, smoking indoors, don't smoke in my truck or my car. Because I didn't like open it up and smelling it, even though I was smoking. So,
yeah.
I was a little more, I don't know, aware of it, I guess. But
and
a cigar.
What's your perspective of this one?
I'm a non-smoker. Are smokers allowed in this group or not? I think you're all pretty high and mighty, honestly. I think you're all pretty high and mighty, honestly.
Yeah.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
I can see it from both sides. However, my comment is, I think you're all comments are pretty high and mighty, honestly. There is a reasonable boundary. People can go outside. Most people I know who smoke are pretty respectful. They go outside, whatever.
Yep.
That's fine.
Yep.
But let's not be too high and mighty about, you know, you're all going to die anyway someday, whether you smoke or not. So you can make
true
your
enough
choices. But I want from the other side, you know, can't there be some bars for smokers? Or does a state like New York or California, whatever, have to ban smoking in all bars? People can make a choice. Okay, here's a smoking bar. I can go there and I can drink my poison and I can smoke my poison simultaneously along with other people who are doing the same thing, right? Not to tell me that there can be no zero bars where people can smoke. It's ridiculous.
Agreed.
It's totalitarianism.
Agreed.
I fucking hate it. Sorry for my French, but it is totalitarianism. People have a choice. You have a choice to smoke or not. You have a choice to go into a smoking establishment or a non-smoking establishment or not. End of rant.
I agree with that totally.
Well,
especially
I've got to say what we've done is even more totalitarianism in Australia, G. Lars, because we've actually gone and put the tax on cigarettes to the point where basically it costs you $50 to buy a pack of 25.
So work a month to smoke two cigarettes.
So,
ridiculous.
So it's a quite a remarkable sort of amount of tax that's actually getting taken
for the tobacco
now
farmers
by cigarettes. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's a big deal. Anyway, there you go. So it's always a good one.
It's a good smoky
poem,
though. Very thought provoking. I like
it. It is a good smoky poem.
Thank you.
No, it's a very good smoky poem. And I have to say, Gerald, at every occasion when we give him a topic, he goes after it, and he always comes up with something that
certainly did.
Is well written, well thought through, and we always end up having a discussion that's a good one. After he's gone and had his piece. So anyway,
yes, what he does for a living, I change every week, every time I read something or post something.
Because
he's very educated on any subject he writes about. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, because Wayne has a sort of slightly humorous take on this very subject, so I was going to put Wayne's poem on the board, and we have to give a bit of a shout-out to Wayne, because Wayne was, you know, literally going to join us 10 minutes before the show started, and then he's broken a tooth, and he's in a lot of pain, and so he has not been able to join us, even though he was meant to be, just because he's got a toothache and he's got to get it fixed. So my apologies to Wayne, and my hope that he gets well soon, and that there is few things on earth that I find as painful as toothache. And so it's a bugger of a thing. So just hoping that Wayne is feeling, you know, halfway decent. And if he's not, he's zonked himself out and he's put himself to sleep. So,
I guess how it happened. I say beer bottle.
No detail, but I've got to say, think about dental things. The less detail you have, typically, the better off you are. Stephen's here. Hold on. This is sort of the wrong end of the show.
Oh, yeah.
Before I get to Wayne, hello, Stephen. How are you?
How are you?
I'm very well. I wasn't expecting to see you at this time. It's sort of the wrong end of the sort of program, really, Stephen. I'm sort of glad you said something. You could have been there for ages.
Our show ran a little
probably
long tonight.
Would have been. No. Well, honestly, you probably would have been there for ages if you hadn't said something, because I wouldn't have been looking out for you, you see. My idea of looking out for you is to actually get you in the studio within 10 minutes, not within 45 seconds. So, you know, we've done fairly well here.
Indeed.
You know, well, no, I'm well known for it. I manage to find people and eventually get them in the studio by the time they've actually had a decade of their life go by. Anyway, putting all that to one side, we have a poem on the board that I know you need to read and run for. So I am going to put it on the board for you to read, Stephen. So if you bear with me for one tick.
All right.
It is now on the board now.
All right. Excuse me. All right. This is one I actually wrote 2 years ago, so I was still a novice poet, so keep that in mind as I bring you my pre-write.
We're keeping it in mind.
Inspired.
We're keeping it in mind.
This is come on. Politically incorrect. I light your tip, glows orange-red. I take a drag, you clear my head. Into my lungs I take your smoke. The fact you're bad for me is a terrible joke. I love you so much, my nicotine, even more than my coffee bean. You're good with the beer and great after sex. Why they're so expensive, I really have to vex. I hate long gaps after my last one, but the buzz I get is so much fun. So here's to you, my cigarette. Someday I will quit, but don't take that bet. And boom.
I'm glad you joined us after our long cigarette discussion that we had when you weren't here, Stephen. How much are cigarettes in the United States, out of interest?
The cheap brands are right around $6 a pack. If you want the name brand, you're going to go about $7.
Yeah.
And that's for how many, 20 or 25?
That's for 20.
That's for 20? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you ready for this? In Australia, if you want to get a 25-pack of cigarettes of the main brand, it'll cost you $50.
Wow.
Australian bucks?
$30 US. $35 US. Yeah. In real money, US money. So
obviously the demand is there.
Well, yeah, I mean that people still smoke. Yeah, people still smoke. It's just that it's bloody expensive, and you know, and there's no cheap brands. So you basically the cheapest brand is.
How much
still,
of that $30 is taxes?
Out of the
because in America
taxes,
about half of the $7 is taxes. About half.
Yeah,
of
about
it,
$27 of the
$7
of the $30
bucks
is tax. 90%
yeah,
of it's
so
tax.
So about half of it is taxes.
Yeah. Yeah, 90% of it. Yeah, ton of it.
But
ton
double
it,
or triple the price. That's outrageous.
Yeah.
So tobacco,
yeah.
Tobacco
seriously
is an import fee, right, AP?
No. We have tobacco farmers. Local
no,
tobacco
they grow
farmers.
Tobacco.
Yep,
they
we have tobacco.
Wow.
Yep, we have tobacco. It's just that we tax the living shookers out of it. So,
look, it's the same thing with alcohol,
right?
It's very easy to produce alcohol, right? It's very easy to produce tobacco. But it's the government and the laws, whether don't sell it on Sunday or tax it this much, it's the government that is controlling the alcohol, tobacco, firearms and explosives. We have in the USA an official department, ATF, right? Alcohol, tobacco, fire.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Yep. 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 Well, we have a black market in tobacco here in Australia, so because the tax is so high, and that's what happens when you tax the living gajibas out of it.
I'm sure you,
you
have
get
a
black market.
Tobacco market. I'm sure you do. Yeah.
Yeah.
To circumvent the stupid government regulations and taxes.
That's it.
You can go back to the 1930s in the USA. Watch the movie Lawless, for example. There's all kinds of moonshiners, you know, just doing what they do in the Kentucky Hills, you know, until the government, the G-men, come in, you know. I'll stop.
Revenuers. Revenuers.
Yeah, revenuers.
Anyway, Hatter, did you want to talk about Stephen's poem? Because I know Stephen's got to disappear, so we need to get him some comments.
He's going to go up
and smoke. Yeah, you know. Those times that you relish so much to have one, the ones that are worse are like after a meal, your body goes into a absorption mode. So like the one after a meal is like 20 times worse than any other one you could have during the day. But you said that, you mentioned after sex, that with coffee or with a beer. You know, you got to start, how I did it, I just started eliminating each one. Just don't do the one after a meal as long as you can go without it. And it got easier, a little easier. Having to go outside was a huge one. It was freezing cold or rainy, and you had to go outside, and sometimes you choose not to. So it's all a choice, like Lawrence said. Yeah.
I always enjoyed smoking while I was driving.
And G Lars, did you want to say something about the sort of antidote to the other cigarette poem, isn't it really? But did you want to say something about this one?
I move on. I think I've already commented enough, right? I have quit smoking. I quit having sex. I quit it all.
Quit enjoying anything.
Rack, did you want to say a few words?
I understand the addiction, dude. If you guys got time, I'll tell you a quick joke about the this old lady goes outside to smoke and it's raining out, and she can't get her damn cigarette lit, and she looks over and there's this other younger lady and she's takes this package out and she rolls it over her her cigarette, and she's like, you know, what's that? And she's like, well, it's a condom. I use it to keep the cigarette dry so I could smoke in the rain. So the other lady's like, that's a brilliant idea. So she goes to the pharmacy, and she says she goes up to the pharmacist. She says she needs condoms, and he's looking at her. You know, she's an old lady and whatnot. And he's like, you know, he decides he thinks he's going to play with her a little bit. He's like, you know, well, what size do you want? She says, oh, big enough for a camel.
No.
Wow. That was a very long joke with a little payoff.
It was a long joke. It was drawn out, but it had humps. It had multiple humps. Stephen.
Thank you.
Stephen, I'm imagining that you have to disappear shortly, but did you want to give your show's upcoming a few words?
Oh, sure, yeah. The Sweatiest Movie Ever Made is our next show. Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern, The Mortuary of Shadows Over a Poetic Slice of Life. The movie Cool Hand Luke is what we're featuring. In the movie, you can write to the character,
very
write
good.
To the scene, little fan fiction. So
yes.
Strother Martin.
Great topic.
Strother
Great
Martin.
Topic.
There you go.
Yeah, Stephen, the original clown episode aired yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that. Space Seed. Great episode.
Yep.
There you go.
Kurt
there you go. So
So thank you, Stephen, for dialing in and for letting me know that you were dialing in, which is more important still, because, as I said, if you hadn't done that, you might have still been there right now, and we would have been on to something else, and we would never have seen you. So thank you, and very happy for you to hang around, but also realise that you've got a very, very early start. So.
Yes, I do. Thank you very much for squeezing me in. Everybody have a good night.
It's always a pleasure, Stephen. Thank you.
Good night,
you
Stephen.
Have fun.
Not a problem.
Okie doke. Talk soon.
Cheers, Steve. See
ya. Okie doke. So I am going to go back to Wayne's poem, Catter, and it sort of fits with the sort of theme. And so this is It Is Time to Quit Smoking by Wayne Jent. And it goes a little bit like this. Always heard where there's smoke, there's fire. That should make this blog show hot for 2 hours. I know Jay Hatter will be smoking tonight with his spill, and A. Fee will bring the house down with his smoking quill. Need to keep an eye out for smoking hot gals tonight. My smoked Boston butt will be plumb out of sight. On a Saturday night, this city will be smoking herb. With my dealer stopping by, I'll be smoking suburb. People I know have been smoking for 40 years. Hope we all be standing when the smoke clears. The view will be clear when the smoke does pass, and I quit blowing smoke up your ass. Until then, I'll be listening to the Smokey Robinson sing, or Smoke on the Water, Deep Purple Thing. Won't be smoking in the boys' room. To get my place clean, I'll need a smoking broom. End poem.
She's smoking hot. That was great.
Well, he smoked his way through that poem, you know, whichever way you look at it, really. He's probably listed a fair few more uses of the smoking than I had thought of. Pat, what do you think of
I think I like that. We got a shout out, free shout out.
Yeah, you get that.
It's only because it grows wild alongside the road out here. I mean, of course we're going to be smoking.
Yeah. So.
All the way through it, very clever. Very cleverly done.
Was clever, wasn't it? Was clever. So, there you go. By the way, Hatter, just an interlude here for a tick. Is it your turn or my turn to pick the topic for next week?
This would be your turn for next week, AP.
Be my turn. I'm thinking, and that's always a concern. Because
explains the smoke.
Because I'm going to link things here. Yeah. Now I know you had your show on bees this week, Hatter. Yes.
I had my show on what?
Bees.
You had your show on bees.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So we've had smoke. And we've had a show on bees, and so logically it makes sense that the next top handles, flames, beeswax, candles.
Gotcha.
It makes sense. Yeah? It's logically linked. It intersects between bees and between smoke. Yes? Doesn't it make sense?
I see.
So you went candles.
It's completely logical.
I'll give it to you.
Yeah, candles.
I'll give that to you.
It's completely logical. Thank you very much. And very rarely do I come up with things that are logical in a calm Star Trek sort of Spock type of way, but I'm here to tell you that I think candles is almost there.
That's a weird topic, but you're in charge.
Thank you very much. It is a weird topic. But I'm good at weird topics, G-Lars. I mean, this is somebody who has in previous, lives done whole shows about rock art. And I worried about it. I still worry about it now.
I mean, smoke, I understood as a subject. Smoke is a good subject. Even though I didn't like all the poems, whatever, But candles, I don't know. To me, it's boring. I'm going to have to think about candles.
Candles. I actually had a friend who made candles for a living. when I was going through
yeah.
In my early career. Yeah, they converted
the candle
a whole,
maker. Yeah.
Yes.
Look at this,
converted
look at this way. Before electricity. Before electricity, when you're walking around the castle, all you had was a candle, and the wind blew it out. You're standing in the freaking darkness. I mean,
I can't be the only pervert. I can't be the only pervert.
That reminds me of my childhood.
Well, there
you go.
You're
dripping
sorry,
hot wax.
Well, I was going to say,
yeah.
The person who was the candle maker was constantly burnt with wax. Constantly burnt with wax. And Hatter, I still remember making candles when I was in year 8. And the reason I still remember making candles when I was in year 8 was because we all finished doing the candles with the boiling hot wax, yeah? And we molded them, yeah? So
okay.
if you're the teacher, what you logically do is you then put the boiling hot wax in a place that it will never actually come into contact with anybody, except my teacher, of course, put the bloody hot wax sitting next to the bloody ground and put the handle over where you walked. And so I went and stepped on the handle and tipped the whole frickin' lot of boiling hot wax on my foot.
Oh.
Ow.
I still remember it. Third degree burn. I had to go to the hospital every day for 3 weeks.
No kidding. Holy crap.
Seriously.
That must have ended candle day, huh?
No, it wasn't. Well, I wasn't a big fan of candles for a long time, man. I really wasn't. Anyway,
yeah.
Candles next week.
Sorry to hear that, but look on the bright side. You learn a lesson, right?
Oh, look, I learned a bloody lesson, I can tell you. And at the same time, Hatter, I was playing the Cowardly Lion in The Wizard of Oz. And so I actually had one foot with a fawn sock on and the other foot with a fawn bandage on. There you go. That was The Wizard of Oz.
Real bandage.
Like a real bandage. Oh, yeah. Like a real hospital strength crepe bandage. Yes. So, anyway, candles next week. Hatter, we have got through
yes.
all of the poems that we had on the board. And so I'm thinking that we might shut up shop a little bit early this week, given that Deb hasn't been with us. And
be about 30 minutes early. But, yeah, we can do that.
We've had you know, a few bits and pieces, and I'm actually reasonably tired, having, as I said up front, driven 200 miles and done an hour and a half at a country market before I actually got back to start the show. So I'm reasonably tired. I have to say, it was a good time. I enjoyed it.
Justifiable, so.
It took me about the same amount of time. It took me about the same amount of time to get from my room to the on the other end of the castle to the kitchen. Took me about that same amount of time.
Well, there you go. So, with all of that, I think we might go out with Fire and Rain, Hatter, by James Taylor, because, you know, he being the first signing of the Beatles label and being, you know, multi-platinum award winner and having wonderful tunes, I think that's a good place to finish.
Have you heard him play is it Locomotive?
No, I have not. We should get that on the board, though.
So I'm going to look it up. We'll put it up there. I'll tell you what, James Taylor can rock and roll. He can rock and roll, man.
He's got absolute rock pedigree, for sure. But I thought Fire
Sweet
and Rain
Baby James.
Sweet Baby James. But Fire and Rain, you see. You put fire, you put rain, you get smoke. Yeah, it just sort of makes
sure.
sense to me.
Sure.
I'm in that sort of logical frame today, but, you know, it just sort of makes sense. So, anyway, I'd like to thank Hatter. I'd like to thank Rack for being
yes.
with us the whole time. I'd like to thank G. Lars for
sure.
coming on and doing all the stuff that he does. I'd like to thank Stephen, and I'd like to thank Deb for helping out with the collab, even though she couldn't be with us tonight. And, of course, your good self, Hatter. It's been a fun show.
Yeah, thank you, AB, Jay Hatter, everybody. Thank you very much. Nice show. Go ahead.
And Lars, you can bring any controversial without going over the stepping over the line.
Yeah.
You can bring out those comments.
We appreciate it.
And I thank you for your humor and for your poems and I've been much appreciated you sticking with us.
No problem. Happy to have.
It's always a pleasure. So with all of that, let's go to Mr. Taylor and we'll catch everybody next week.
Good night, gentlemen.
That's yep.
Good night.
Bless y'all.
Good night.
Good night, G-Lars. Good night, Anna. We'll talk soon.
Yep.
Did you want to say goodbye to anybody or preview anything to come, Hatter, before we disappear?
What did Jimmy Dranny used to say? Goodbye, Mrs.
Mrs. Calabat?
Saginaw. Calabat.
Say goodnight,
yeah.
Gracie.
Say goodnight.
That was George Burns.
Oh, well, there you go. Nothing wrong with that.
I'm waiting for James Taylor.
well, if that's the case, here he comes. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. Suzanne, the plans they made put an end to you. I walked out this morning and I wrote down this song. I just can't remember who to send it to. I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend, but I always thought that I'd see you again. Won't you look down upon me, Jesus? You gotta help me make a stand. You just got to see me through another day. My body's aching and my time is at hand. I won't make it any other way. Whoa, I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always thought that I'd see you again. Been walking my mind to an easy time. My back turned towards the sun. Lord knows when the cold wind blows, it'll turn your head around. Well, there's hours of time on the telephone line to talk about things to come. Sweet dreams and flying machines in pieces on the ground. Oh, I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always thought that I'd see you, baby. One more time again now. Thought I'd see you one more time again. There's just a few things coming my way this time around now. Thought I'd see you, thought I'd see you finally now.
And we'll see everybody next week for Candles, and thank you everybody for dropping by, and we'll see you in a week's time. Have fun. Bye, everybody.
See you. See you, Pete.
See you later.